We're living in a day when the church seems to have more flair than ever. The churches have nice buildings. They have big screens. They have all kinds of ministries. They have lighted signs and paved parkways. But in the midst of all of that flair, it seems that the level of Christianity is more shallow and hollow than ever. We're living in a day where many are saved, but few are serving. Today, Christianity without commitment seems to be the motto of most Christians. Let me ask you this question this morning. What would you think of someone who had a child, and the child, the baby, enters into this world and has the experience of the miracle of life and birth, but never experiences any physical or mental growth? What would you think of that child? There'd be something drastically wrong in that child's life. You say, boy, for them to experience the miracle of birth and to have new life and to be born into this world, but never to grow in those areas, doesn't seem to match up. What would you think of a mother who had a child, but then left it unattended, malnourished, maybe even abandoned it? Many times, this is the state of our church today. We're not taking the time to teach and invest in new believers and establish them in the faith. And because of it, Christianity, the Bible way, is fading into oblivion. Because the standard of Scripture regarding discipleship has been lowered. And I want to start a series this morning called The Cost of Discipleship. In this series, I hope to bring all of us to the truths of the Scripture and to the passion of Jesus Christ, that He wants believers not to just be believers in Christ, but to be disciples. In John chapter 8, look at verses 31 and 32. He talks about those that believed on Him. In verse 31, that's a person getting saved. That's a person understanding their sinful condition, realizing that Jesus Christ has saved them, has given them a home in heaven, and trusting in Christ for their salvation. That's believing. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never believed. You've heard preaching. You've heard the Word of God. You understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin and shed His blood and rose again to pay for your sin, but you have never personalized that and said, Lord, it's me. I'm a sinner. I have broken Your law. I need Your Son, Jesus Christ, to forgive me of my sin. Maybe you've never believed. But notice in the second part of that verse, He uses a different term. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, those that have been saved, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. He uses the term disciple. There's a believer, and then there's a disciple. You see, at salvation, for salvation to take place, the cost was paid by Jesus Christ. He paid it in full, the Bible says. He made it possible for every man to have access to God, to be reconciled to God through the death of Jesus Christ. But in discipleship, the cost lies with us. It lies with us. It lies with us making choices and making decisions to follow Jesus Christ. And listen to me carefully this morning. God's plan is for every believer to be a disciple. He's not content with some believers to be disciples and others just to take the fire insurance policy of escaping hell and not grow in Christ and not become a disciple indeed. In fact, He's not just interested in you being a disciple, but He wants you to be a disciple indeed. Look at verse number 31. If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. He wants our lives to be very clear as to who we're following. He doesn't want us to believe in Christ and then live any old way that we want. He wants us to be believers and then to be set our course of life to be set apart so that we are clear followers of Jesus Christ. This is what Christ wants in our lives. I like directions. Directions are a good thing, especially for me. Almost everywhere I go, I need directions. Even if I've been to someone's house one time, I usually can't remember how to get there the next. I get easily turned around. I get distracted in conversation as I'm driving, and I forget where I'm going. I'm the one that passes the road constantly. If you go on visitation with me, you know I usually never get to the driveway just by driving and getting to it. I drive past it, have to turn around, come back, and get to where I want to go. Directions are important. And this morning's title is The Direction of a Disciple. How do you know that you are headed in the direction of becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ? Some people look at the term disciple or discipleship and they think, wow, that's just for a new convert. You know, that's for somebody that just got saved. We have a discipleship class here at the church from time to time, and people think, well, that's just for the new convert. No, 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 no. No, a disciple is not a bad term. A disciple should be all of our pursuit. We all should be pursuing this in our lives, and there are some directions that God gives us to show us that we are headed in the direction of becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Sometimes, listen to me carefully, experienced and established believers leave the path of the disciple. Sometimes those that were headed in the direction of being a disciple tend to revert or tend to detour away from that. They lose sense of spiritual direction. Listen to me carefully. It's God's goal for every believer here to understand the direction of the disciple and to get on the path that gets there. I want to instruct you this morning in the path or the direction of a disciple. By the way, to be a believer and not be a disciple is to fail in the Great Commission. Church, let me talk to you a little bit. Those of you that are interested in people, those of you that are building people, evangelizing, those of you that care about reaching others, which is the heartbeat of our church. The Great Commission is not fulfilled when someone bows their head and asks God to save them. That's part of the Great Commission. But it is only fulfilled completely when we evangelize and we bring people to the point of becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Sir, if you've recently gotten saved, or maybe you've been saved for years, God is not just content to save you. God wants you to become His disciple. He wants you to be a disciple of Christ. The mission of discipleship is given in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." That's evangelism. You can't have discipleship without evangelism. Listen, you'll never become a disciple of Christ until you're first saved. We go and we teach all nations. We get them the truth of the gospel. That's part of the Great Commission. But then it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Christ in this passage gives the church a command of evangelism and a command of discipleship. Evangelism is seeking the lost and winning them to Jesus Christ, showing them that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, the only one that can forgive, the only name under heaven that can give salvation. But discipleship is taking them beyond that and helping them to learn the Scriptures and to learn what God is like and growing in one's faith. Christ's life revealed His vision. Are you listening to me? He was with the multitudes an awful lot. He gave the gospel whenever He could. Sometimes it was with multitudes. Sometimes it was with individuals like Zacchaeus or the woman at the well. He was very interested in evangelism. But listen, He was also interested in discipleship. He spent His everyday life with 12 men, discipling them, helping them to grow to the point that they would be followers of Jesus Christ. The mission of discipleship. Hear me out, church, this morning. If we have a church that's full on Sunday mornings and empty on Sunday nights, we're not doing our job in discipleship. We're not taking time to build people to the next level of growing and learning the Word of God. Discipleship is going beyond salvation. It's going beyond the status quo. It's going beyond the entry level of Christianity. The meaning of disciple, the mission of discipleship, and the meaning of disciple in the New Testament is one that is a learner. I want you to get two truths here under the meaning of a disciple this morning. It means to learn. That's what the very word means. If you study it throughout our New Testament, it means somebody that is a student. They're putting themselves under teaching. They're excited they're like a sponge to take in, to learn the Word of God and to apply it and to obey it in their lives. And so if you are going to become a disciple, there must first be a commitment to learning. Are you listening to me this morning? There must first be a commitment to learning. A serious disciple of Jesus Christ is one who takes every opportunity and even creates opportunities to learn more about the Bible and more about Christ. A serious disciple of Jesus Christ understands that when the doors are open for church, I've got to be there because there's something that I must learn to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And some are getting sloppy in this. And some are just looking at church services as I can take them or leave them. But not a serious disciple. Not somebody that wants to follow Christ. They take the church services seriously. They carve those things out of their schedule so they can get to where the Word of God's at. We need that in our church. We need some to step up in this area and say, bless God, I'm going to be at church when the doors are open. I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to be a learner. 2 Peter chapter 1 talks about adding to your faith. And in that passage it says, give all diligence. Give every effort towards this. Pour yourself in this direction. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. How's your faith going to grow? How are you going to grow in your life? You're going to grow by putting yourself under biblical instruction and hearing the Word of God. Some are going beyond church. Some are getting CDs from Russell. Some have Bible CDs that you listen to the Bible on cassette tape or you listen to it on CDs. What are they showing? They're showing, I want to learn. I'm interested in becoming a disciple of Christ. I'm asking you, as you measure your own level of learning this morning, your desire to learn, are you headed in the direction of becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ? No learning, no discipleship. Disciple, being a disciple means a commitment to learning. To stay at Sunday morning Christianity where you attend church once a week or once every 3 or 4 weeks is not true of someone who is interested in becoming a disciple. The desire is waning. It's weakening in some lives. And listen to me. Listen to my heart this morning. I'm not trying to badger you. I'm not trying to hurt you this morning. As your pastor, I'm trying to help you to get back to the direction of discipleship. To get back to the direction of becoming a disciple of Christ. When I see believers content with living this pattern of Sunday morning Christianity or hit and miss Christianity, it shows me that they are taking a direction away from becoming a disciple. They are not going in the direction of becoming a disciple of Christ because discipleship means a commitment to learn. A Christian that wants to be a disciple will make learning and seeking God a first priority in his life. You may be listening by way of live stream this morning, and I'm thankful that you can get the Word of God in that form. But if you can be at church and you are not, God is not pleased with you. You need a revival of learning. You need to get back to the local church. You need to be in church and be around God's people and be learning the Word of God in the local church, the context of the local church. I believe that some need a revival of learning. I believe that maybe the message this morning is for 1 or 2 or 5 here this morning, and God's putting it on your heart, and God's speaking to your heart through His Word and saying, boy, I've got to have a revival of learning in my life. I got to get back to learning God. I got to get back to learning His Word. I've got to push myself. I got to have more than what I'm getting right now. There needs to be a revival of learning. Some need to kick themselves and get yourself back on the path of becoming a disciple. And it begins with a commitment to learning. Hebrews chapter 10, look over there if you would, verses 24 and 25. The Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You may see a brother or sister that's been out of church for a while. You know what would be good? It'd be good to give a phone call. It'd be good to write a note and just encourage them. Exhort one another. Encourage one another in this area of learning, in this area of assembling for the purpose of continuing in the Word. Listen to me. You'll not be a disciple indeed without this. A person that continues in the Word is a disciple indeed, according to John chapter 8, verse number 32. But discipleship not only means learning, it means leaving. It means leaving. Turn over in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we're at the very beginning of Christ's ministry. And He is selecting the men that will work with Him. The men that will be known as the 12 disciples. At the beginning of that selection, there is a big test. And that test is they had to leave. You know, when a person gets saved, there are some tests usually up front that dictates whether or not they will follow Christ. And there are some things that usually we have to leave in order to stay on the path or get on the path of becoming a disciple. Matthew chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. The Bible says, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Following him meant leaving what they were doing. By the way, they were mending nets. They weren't doing anything bad necessarily. It was their occupation for life. They were fishermen. They were providing for their families. And Christ told them, it's time for you to follow me. And look at what the next verse says. It says, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. Straightway in your New Testament could also be translated immediately. That's what it means. Mark uses it a lot in his gospel, but Matthew also uses it to illustrate that they didn't take time to weigh it out. He said, follow me. What did they do? They immediately left their nets and they followed him. Sometimes we're trying to figure out if following God is going to work before we leave something. And God says, you follow me and I'll make other things work. You immediately leave your nets. Luke chapter 14, verses 26 through 33 talks about counting the cost in the area of discipleship. And he says this, verse number 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What's he saying? There has to be a leaving. Doesn't mean you have to go and kill your family. That's not what the Bible's saying here. But the Bible is saying your family cannot be more important than following God. You're going to be my disciple, I have to move to the top of the list in your life. Is Jesus Christ at the top of your list? In 1993, I left home. It was a pivotal year in my life. I remember taking a trip with my parents, them dropping me off at college. We had a little bit of vacation time before that, wonderful time as a family. I went to a place where I only knew one person, where the college campus was a half an hour away from civilization. I arrived on campus a week early, and barely anyone else was on campus, and certainly no one that I knew. I was in a dorm room all by myself, and I experienced leaving. It was hard. I remember Mom and Dad in that brown van, as it were yesterday, and I hugged them. And they hugged me, and they were crying, and I was crying, and they pulled out of the driveway. And I was 17 hours away from home on my own, all on my own. But I knew that it was what God had for me at that time in life. And God said, if you're going to follow me, you have to leave. You have to leave. I had to leave. For 6 years of my life, I gave that time to the Lord. In Bible college, I didn't know what God had for me as far as a future at that point. I didn't know that I was going into the ministry. There was no calling on my life that I knew. But I knew that that was a step that God wanted me to take. If I was going to follow Christ, I had to take that step. I didn't want to leave. I had all kinds of inhibitions and fears and wondering what God was doing. Why would he lead me to out in the middle of nowhere? But I knew that God was leading in my life. I heard the call of God during those 6 years to ministry. I learned a lot about my God. I learned a lot about ministry, and I got trained in doctrine, and God used it in my life. I met my wonderful wife during that time. He helped me to know him. I became more steadfast in what I believed. I grew through difficult times. But all of those things took place when I made a decision to leave. I believe that there are some here this morning that if you're going to stay on the path of discipleship, you're going to stay on the path of becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to leave some things. God's asking you to leave some things. It could be a workplace that's causing you to falter spiritually. Listen to me, parents, and listen to me, teenagers. There is no workplace that is worth the money for you to fail spiritually in your life. If you're in a bad workplace and it's affecting you spiritually, drop the workplace as a young person. Put yourself in a godly atmosphere that will help you grow in your relationship with Christ. Is it a relationship that's had a negative impact on your relationship with Christ? Some have friends here this morning and they are not helping you in your spiritual walk. In fact, if we could visualize it, they are taking both arms and they are yanking you off the path and the direction of being a disciple. And some need to leave a relationship this morning and say, I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to be with that person. They're not helping me in my direction of becoming a disciple. Some are entrenched, so entrenched in other commitments of life that there is no time for learning. Others have so many obstacles in their mind on why they can't follow God and why they can't serve Him and why they can't be used by Him. And Satan floods your mind and you've accepted that thinking and you need to leave it all. And you need to go back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13 and say, by God and through Christ, I can do all things which strengtheneth me. I can serve God. I can raise a godly family. I can grow in my life. I can be faithful to church. I'm not going to listen to Satan's jargon anymore. I'm going to follow what the Scripture says. I'm going to build my mind on what's right. Some are standing behind the excuse that the season of life I'm in doesn't allow me to be faithful or to be used by God. Find that in the Scripture. Find in the Scripture where God gives us seasons of life that says, I can't walk with Him. I can't serve Him. I can't be faithful to Him. You'll find that in the Scripture. I don't see how that excuse, when you stand before God someday, is going to line up. Say, well, it's just the season of life I'm in. Some need to throw that out the window. Some are comfortable. Others have maybe been burnt in ministry, and you've swallowed a drug that says, I'm afraid to follow Christ. I'm afraid to give myself to Him, to be used. And God is saying to you, leave that drug behind. If you've been burnt, it's time to get over it and plug yourself into a ministry again. It's time for you to plug yourself into a local church and commit yourself to it. A person unwilling to leave is a person who cannot be a disciple of Christ. Some are unwilling to leave the beer bottle. Others are unwilling to leave the cigarette. Others are unwilling to leave the habit of undisciplined spending in your home. And living outside your means all the time so that you can't obey God and follow God in the principles of finances in your life. And some need to make a decision before a holy God this morning and say, I'm leaving it. I'm not going to live that way anymore. I'm going to live within my means. I'm going to learn to operate with what God gives me. Some can't leave riches, like the rich man in Luke who walked away from Christ sorrowfully. I'm saying this morning, discipleship is not only a commitment of learning, it is a commitment of leaving. That's what the Bible's saying. Some can't leave the programs on television. They build their lives, their entire schedule around television programs. I'll be honest with you, technology is stealing much of the time that we could use learning the book. It's killing us. The television, the tablets, the iPads, the phones, the Twitter, the Facebooks, the video games, the texting, the surfing, the YouTubes. It wouldn't be bad for some of us to just leave some of that for a while. Say, Lord, I'm going to replace some of that time with some holy time with You. It would be good for some fathers to initiate a week-long fast and turn the time into serving someone in the church, having someone over, increasing time in learning and meditating on the Scripture. You say, preacher, this is hard preaching. It's the cost of discipleship. It's the cost. I'm asking you to count the cost this morning. Do you want to be a disciple indeed? You want to be a clear follower of Jesus Christ? It means leaving some things. They left some things. I want you to see not only the meaning of a disciple this morning, I want you to see not only the mission of discipleship given to the church, but I want you to see the making of a disciple. One writer put it this way, disciples are made, they're not born. So the question is, how does a believer become a disciple of Christ? How does he head in that direction? Turn over in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to finish the message this morning in Acts chapter 2. First of all, to get on the path of becoming a disciple, you must be saved. Everything starts at square number one, and square number one is salvation. It's the go in Monopoly. It's where you've got to start. Nobody gets beyond square number one that hasn't been to square number one first. You cannot skip over salvation and become a disciple of Christ. Salvation is the beginning point. That is when a person trusts Christ, as I've already explained. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47 give us the beginning of the church in the New Testament. In the New Testament, in this particular passage, if we would take time to read all of Acts chapter 2, we would find that Peter preached the gospel. He started with the message of the gospel, and people received it. And lots of people received it. In fact, 3,000 people received it on that day. How does the Bible describe it? Look at verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. They gladly received his word. That's where discipleship begins. That's where the path of becoming a disciple begins. Now, if you're here this morning, the rest of what I'm going to talk about throughout the rest of this message doesn't mean a thing to you until you go to square number one and you become saved. And that happens at a moment in time. It can happen at a moment in time at the altar this morning where you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm going to give that opportunity at the end of this service, and you can take step number one. All right? Then all the other first steps that come along after that that I'm going to preach on, all of a sudden they come into the picture. Oh, I'm on a path. I'm on the direction of becoming a disciple. I'm headed in that direction. I've been saved. Now what? Now how do I get there? I want to give you those steps this morning. Step number two is the disciple of Christ begins with salvation, but it continues with the first steps. What is the first step in this particular passage? It is the step of baptism. Then they that gladly received his word were what? Were baptized. Were baptized. It's you. Baptism, the way God set it up, is God set up baptism so that you could publicly identify with Christ. Now, when you get saved, you are privately, personally, saying, I need Christ to forgive me of my sin. But when you get baptized after salvation, you are publicly declaring to everybody, you know what? I've been saved, and I want everybody to know it. I am with Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He's the one I'm going to follow. I'm walking in a new life. Romans chapter 6, verse number 3 and 4 talks about that. Have you been baptized? You've been saved, but you haven't been baptized yet. You can't continue in the direction of a disciple without taking step number two, and that's baptism. There are some in our congregation, that is your next step. If you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you can't go any further than getting step number two right. And you need to talk to Pastor Tom at the altar this morning. You need to talk to me on the way out. Say, preacher, I need to be baptized. I've been saved. I need to be baptized. I need to grow in my faith in that way. Then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. If you look at verse number 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Listen to me carefully. They brought themselves under the apostles to learn the doctrine of the Scriptures. Did you hear that? They put themselves under solid biblical teaching. You cannot become a disciple and stay in the direction, going in the direction of discipleship without putting yourself under Bible teaching and preaching. They continued steadfastly in this. They didn't draw back. They didn't get offended. They didn't treat it lightly. They continued in it. They willingly placed themselves under it. And what happens to believers that do that? Colossians 2 talks about it. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught. What happens when you put yourself under solid Bible instruction, solid Bible teaching and preaching in your life? What's going to take place? Three things are going to happen. You're going to get rooted. You're not going to be easily swayed by what every other teaching that's going on around you. You're going to learn what you believe and why you believe it. Number two, you're going to be built up. You're going to be built up in the faith. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to be stronger as a result of that. Number three, you're going to be established. You're not going to be movable. You're not going to be wavering. You're going to be established. When the storms of life come, when the trials of life come, if you have kept yourself under the preaching and teaching of God's Word, you'll be established in those times. Folks, we need that. We need that. It happens when you continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Then they continue steadfastly in fellowship. That means they changed their hangouts. They changed who they partnered with, who they spent time with. They changed who got their time. If the world and its friendships get all your spare time, listen to me, it's revealing your direction in life. These believers said, I'm going to get saved. I got saved. I want to get on the direction of becoming a disciple. How do I do that? I get baptized. I continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I'm going to put myself under solid Bible teaching and preaching. What else is going to take place? I'm going to change the people I run with. Some of you are in Google Circles, and others of you know no idea what I'm talking about when I say Google Circles. In Google Circles, you have a thing called Hangouts. Okay, that's people that you video call or that you call back and forth. And I have a Hangout with Mom and Dad. And so we video call them. Did that this week. Used that this week. Some of us need to change our Hangouts. We're not on the path of discipleship because our Hangouts aren't right. Some are coming to the church and you're trying out the church to see if they're going to feel friendly and meet your every need. And can I just encourage you to continue steadfastly at it? It takes time. It's not going to feel at home all at once. But stay steadfast at it. Stay steadfast in fellowship. That's what they did. It's interesting that the Bible uses that term, continue steadfastly, because for all of these believers that are new, it wasn't normal. They didn't know these other people. It wasn't like they were buddies with Peter for years and years before they got saved. This was all new, but they continued at it. And over time, you feel a belonging. You feel a home. You feel a family. But you got to continue at it. Continue steadfastly in fellowship. It's very important that you do that. They continued in breaking of bread in verse number 42. We believe this to be a reference to their partaking of the Lord's Supper. And we do this at our church. And it's important. It's an ordinance that God gives us. They continue in prayer. We have men's prayer meetings here at our church every Sunday night at 6 or 5:50. I encourage you, men, teen boys, I encourage you to be a part of that. Continue with us in prayer. We have Wednesday night prayer meetings in our church. When we get together on Wednesday night, if you've not been to a Wednesday night service, we have a time where we sing and we have a time where we study the scriptures and we have a large time where we take prayer requests and answers to prayer and we pray. That's what the early church did. Those that are going in the direction of becoming a disciple continue in prayer. According to the scriptures, they continue in prayer. They also continued in parting to other men as they had need. Look at verses 44 and 45 this morning. And all that believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Another first step is they begin to care for others who had needs. This is part, listen to me, this is part and part of the first steps. Very interesting to me that he includes this at the beginning of the church. Baptism, apostles' doctrine, prayer, fellowship, breaking of bread, and they parted to every man as he had need. As you get to know believers, you'll learn about different needs, and you can give to those different needs. Sometimes it's care. Sometimes it's a listening ear. Other times it's finance. Sometimes it's a visit. But listen to me, believers on the path of becoming a disciple, that's what their lives are about. Mount Zion, we have to be a caring church for each other. That is what believers that are interested in following Christ do. Some have come to me and said, Pastor, I'm not sure how, it's hard to feel part of such a large work. And my advice to them has been this: get involved in a ministry and start caring for somebody. That's what believers on the path to becoming a disciple do. You say, how do I do that? You have to seek out needs. You have to be interested in people. You have to stay around maybe a little longer and talk to get to know where there are needs. Some have not yet practiced this principle, but this morning, God is pointing you in the direction of a disciple and saying, this is what's got to take place. Christians, this is what's normal in becoming a disciple. I'm asking you this question: how are you doing with the first principles this morning? I'm not asking you if you're recently saved, if you want to be a disciple. Because I really don't think that the message just applies to somebody that's recently saved. I really believe that the message applies to all believers here this morning. Where are you at in the direction of becoming a disciple? Are you on the path? Are these first principles being practiced in your life? Have you been baptized? Are you placing yourself under biblical teaching? Are you changing your crowd? Are you partaking in the Lord's table, continuing in prayer, caring for the needs of other brethren? These are the first principles that the church practiced. These are the things that make a disciple. Hebrews 5:12 is a sad commentary on a group of believers. It says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. That means that there is a bend in all of us to forget the first principles. There's a time where we need to be taught again. That's what this morning is. The direction of a disciple. I want to ask you this question as I close the message. Are you a disciple? Or are you just a believer? That may be a life-changing question for you. Too many Christians have settled in for just being believers. They have plateaued at a lower level than Jesus intended when he gave the Great Commission. Are you on the path to being a disciple? Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning.